You're listening to SBS News.
For those in immigration detention in Australia, getting out and being free is what is most on their minds. Some wait for that day for years, and when it comes, it brings with it new challenges, such as finding a job, if allowed to work, and finding a place to live where they can afford it. The first year of freedom, for many, is the most important, with some succeeding, such as the Invictus Games athletes from Afghanistan, while others find themselves living below the poverty line, sometimes unable to eat, and even becoming homeless. For the Invictus Games athletes from Afghanistan who arrived in Australia for the Games in 2018 and applied for asylum, their claims were clear-cut with supporting evidence. As explained by the athlete's lawyer, Alison Battison, with Human Rights for All, they received support in every way from the government here.
There are six Invictus Games gentlemen. Most of them are working, gainfully employed. Almost all of them have applied to bring their families across because their families remain targeted by the Taliban because of their involvement in the Afghan National Army and fighting the Taliban. So they've been very focused on that process. They have all had operations by Dr. Munjed El-Mudaris to have the osteointegration for new prosthetic legs.
One of the Invictus athletes, Saif al-Rahman Rahmani, who's a powerlifting and volleyball athlete, told SBS News how Australia changed his life for the much better by accepting his and the other athletes' asylum claims.
When we came to Australia in 2018, 19th of October, we came to the game, Invictus game. But after finished the game, because we have my life was danger in my country. That's why I still stay here. And after 1 month, maybe after 20 days, I get a bridging visa. Then I start studying. 10th of May 2019, I get a permanent. Then I start some work in chemistry house in somewhere.
But because of one of Mr. Rahman's legs being blown off by an explosive device in Afghanistan and his other leg damaged by gunfire, his general practitioner here in Australia told him he had to quit his job. However, with the support and benefits from the Australian government, Mr. Rahmani was able to have prosthetic legs fitted.
Last year, in 24th of October, they do surgery in my left leg with Professor Munjed El-Mudaris. They do the different operation. It's so good. Now they fixed the other leg for me. It's different leg, but it's like my real leg, but working great. But now I'm very happy with this leg. If I'm well on the future, I start work. I start a small business for myself. I'm very happy.
Mr. Rahmani and the other Invictus athletes were fortunate in that their asylum claims were quickly approved and they were able to receive full benefits and work rights here in Australia. However, that is not the typical experience of asylum seekers and refugees. For many of them arriving in Australia, immigration detention is where they land until their claims for asylum or refugee status are assessed. Those assessments can take months or even years, and if the immigration department is not convinced with the claim, the person is either not released from detention or released with reduced benefits or even no benefits at all. Pamela Kerr has worked with asylum seekers and refugees for more than 20 years, formerly working with the Asylum Seeker Resource Center and other support organizations. She explains what the typical refugee and asylum seeker experience is like for those released from immigration detention, including the more than 60 men released from immigration detention since Christmas.
People are literally being pushed out of detention centres at 30 to 40 minutes notice, told, pack your bags, move now, right now, and then they're pushed out the gate with nothing. Those men who left detention just before Christmas, there were about seven of them, they didn't have an IMI card, so they had no identity, they had nothing, no money, and literally they placed a phone call. Some of them were lucky, they had people to call, and some just urgently asked an advocate, a friend, help, I need help.
Mari Hapke, convener at the Refugee Advocacy Network, says most refugees and asylum seekers are sent off into the community without much, if any, support.
These refugees were held in community detention with housing provided and a stipend to provide for living expenses. Over the last 8 years, the government has spent around $8 billion on detaining around 3,000 refugees offshore and also in Australia. Now, refugees are being released from hotels and detention centres, and also people are being released into the community with from community detention. While this freedom is so welcome and is so overdue, it's totally outrageous that all of these refugees are being released into the community with no income support, except for an initial 2 or 3 week period. These people need a safety net income to ensure that they can pay for accommodation and basic living expenses.
Sayida, whose last name has been withheld by SBS News, arrived in Australia on a student visa with her husband and 3.5-year-old daughter in 2013. She was pregnant at the time. She and her family were not placed in immigration detention as they originally came on a student visa, but when their student visas expired and they were supposed to return to Pakistan, she and her husband applied for asylum. Within months, she gave birth to her son Mohammed, now aged 7, in Sydney. She then went on to have another 2 children here, now aged 5 and 3. Sayida remembers her first year here in Australia.
Yes, in the very first year, we are not have a knowledge of how to live in Australia, where to go, where to find the help. So most of the time in very first, 6th and 7th month, we are homeless many times. We are homeless. I'm pregnant and she's only 3.5 years, and we live in a park for a few, 2 nights. And then now we are much better.
Initially, Sayida and her family were receiving status resolution support services, or SRSS payments, but those ended.
When our SRS payments start, then my husband get a back injury. He can't walk up to 200 meters and still we have a problem with living. But with the SRS payment, at least we have to pay the money. We have to pay the rent, electricity bills and our food items. My daughter start the school and my kids are with me, but still struggling very hard. But and then after in 2017, my SRS payment is finished and we are completely helpless.
With SRSS cut off in 2017 and Sayida's husband suffering chronic pain and unable to work, coupled with Sayida's bipolar condition and full-time motherhood of 4, the prospect of the family earning an income was bleak. However, because 3 of Sayida's children were Australian-born, they are entitled to government support. But Sayida and her husband were not aware of this when she was pregnant with Mohammed, and therefore the family did not do the right paperwork for him to receive benefits. So Sayida and her husband now receive support for 2 of the 3 children that were born here. That support, which totals $320 a week for the 2 children, has to support the entire family of 6. Had it not been for the Australian-born children's government support, the family would have had no income at all, as Sayida claims. The immigration department keeps changing the conditions of their bridging visas.
We are on a bridging visa from the last 8 years. Still, we are on a bridging visa. We have to renew our visa. When we have to renew our visa, every time renewation is the free. We renew the visa, it's just free, but you have different conditions. Your immigration manager sometimes take the Medicare, sometimes take the work rights from you. Sometimes they have lots of conditions on your visa. At the moment, my husband, he's studying at the Certificate 3, but he's applying for the work, and where he applied, they said that we are not accepting the 3-month visa. I many times speak with my caseworker, manager at immigration. I said that if you give us the visa for at least 6 months, then we got a part-time job, but no. Very hard.
Sayida says if the immigration department just allowed her and her husband to work and have Medicare, they and their children could start living a more prosperous and comfortable life.
We want to work. My husband is studying. For this studying rights, me and my husband work very hard to get our study rights from immigration. At least we can study in Australian environment. We do some of the courses and we can find a good job, but still nothing can happen. sometime like my condition is like this one, I thinking that I just live in a tent and is like happiness in my life. No tension to pay the rent, no, just need to buy some food.
Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.